ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस। टेक्स्ट नंबर 27।
तम मन्यमानो निज वीर्य संकितम् यद्दष्ट मुक्तो नरहरिं महासुर पुनस्तमासज्जत खड्ग चर्मणि प्रगृह्य वेगेन गतश्रमो मृधे।
Translation: When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Narsingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Purport by His Divine Grace, Shalesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished, but sometimes he is given a chance to play. Exactly like Hiranyakashipu, when he was released from the hands of Narsingadev. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Narsingadev, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. Hare Krishna. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Narsingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess.
It is explained by, I think, Sri Jiva Goswami, that other than Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most special incarnations are Lord Narsingadev and Lord Ramchandra, because there is very strong element of Bhakta Vatsala, Lord reciprocating with his devotees as in the form of Lord Narsingadev and as Lord Ramchandra. And here also we see, being the protector of his devotees, to protect Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narsingadev not only kills Hiranyakashipu, but before killing him, he makes the whole episode very exciting and dramatic. He makes it dramatic by giving the demon Hiranyakashipu an upper hand at this part of the fight. Srila Prabhupada writes very nice that Krishna allows the demons to do well, just so that they may be eventually fooled. And that's most painful. Srila Prabhupada is writing here about the false confidence that these materialistic people have when they apparently win against the onslaught of the material energy. So Krishna is so expert, he gives a brief moment of victory to the demoniac people before they eventually perish and they are completely destroyed. Hiranyakashipu is a classic case. He sought from the Lord, actually from Brahmaji, a foolproof benediction. He thought, excellent plan, I won't die. I should not be killed in the daytime, in the nighttime, not by human, not by an animal. Such a perfect plan. But Krishna outwitted him so brilliantly. Another example is Ravana. When he asked for benedictions, he said, I shouldn't be killed by demigods, by Gandharvas, by Kinnaras, so many things. But he forgot to say humans. He thought human. He didn't consider humans worthy of any opposition. But Lord appeared as a human and he killed Ravana. So human beings today, they might think, they might have a lot of achievements, but an insignificant mosquito, a female Anopheles mosquito, can give us falciparum malaria and a very big industrialist or a very big man can die because of this. So Krishna's sense of humor is amazing and scary also. We try to enjoy, Krishna pulverizes us, crushes us completely, but initially just makes it all the more painful for us. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew expertly how to crush someone's false pride. When Keshav Kashmiri came in front of the Lord and he was talking to the Lord very inconsiderately. Oh, you are that Nimai Pandit, that teacher of grammar, Kalapa Vyakaran. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say, I am Lord Chaitanya or I am the greatest Sanskrit Pandit. He just said, yeah, actually what I teach, I don't know myself. And what the students, they don't understand anything what I teach. So both of us are useless. So Srila Prabhupada writes there that Lord Chaitanya was increasing the false confidence of Keshav Kashmiri. So Keshav Kashmiri was becoming very puffed up. And then Mahaprabhu told him, okay, Panditji, you are great poet. Why don't you please compose on Mother Ganges? And Keshav Kashmiri composed beautiful 100 poems. He spoke like a whirlwind. And Nimai Pandit said, excellent poetry. Tumara kavita yena bujite tara shakti. Tumi bhalo artha jana kimva saraswati. Wow, excellent poetry. Your poetry is so excellent that only two people can understand. Tumi bhalo jana artha, you can understand. And kimva saraswati. And Goddess Saraswati can understand. So Prabhupada writes there that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being sarcastic, telling him that only nobody can understand. But Srila Prabhupada clarifies, Lord Chaitanya can be sarcastic because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We shouldn't try to falsely imitate. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he became so puffed up and then Mahaprabhu smashed him completely. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very unique style of crushing someone's false pride. Sarva Shastra, Sarva Pandita, Paya Parajay, Vinaya Bangita Karo, Dukkha Nahi Hoy. Mahaprabhu would do it with Vinaya. Mahaprabhu would smash. That is the special incarnation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he also kills, but kills the false ego. But Vinaya Bangita Karo Dukkha Nahi Ho. A person feels happy at the end. So, therefore, this pastime reveals how Krishna is the greatest of cheats. Dyutam Chalayatam Asmi. So we might exploit the resources of material nature. We might think I am enjoying, I am successful. But Krishna, after that brief moment, he completely punishes us, completely humbles us. So Hiranyakashipu is the best example. He is now feeling that I am victorious. Oh, I can kill this creature. Even Duryodhanite is said, on the first day of the Mahabharata war, actually the Kauravas had an upper hand on the first day. Pandavas faced more reversals on the end of the first day. So Duryodhan said, without Karna, we are doing it. So he was so happy. But then we know what happened eventually. Of course, Krishna may not do it personally in all cases. Sometimes he does it personally and many times he crushes the materialistic people through his material energy also. His material energy is itself enough to crush all of us. I remember as a young boy, when television was very new in India, 1982, we were in school. That time cricket was not an obsession, I remember. Then hockey was the national obsession. And 1982, we had these Asian Games held in New Delhi. We had that Appu, the mascot. It was a very, very special event in the material world. And Asian Games in New Delhi, and the final event of this Asian Games was India's final hockey finals with Pakistan. That was like the climax of Asian Games. The whole nation was watching because TV was new and this match, hockey was the passion of India. India-Pakistan finals and the stadium was packed with Indians. You know, so many Sardars were doing Bhangra dance right from the beginning. There was one section exclusively for the Indian ministry, the cabinet, prime minister, finance minister, everybody, the whole politicians gang was there in one full section of the stadium. And India was like, Indians were playing like champions. And at half-time, the score read 2-0 in favor of India. And already celebrations were on. Pedas were being distributed and Bhangra dance was going on. I remember that scene very vividly.
And they came back. I think the Pakistani players went in and they prayed to Lord Allah and they came back. And then I remember just a few minutes before the final whistle, the Pakistan team caught up. Not only they caught up, you know what are the final score? Pakistan defeats India 8-2. I remember, you should imagine the scene. Can you imagine the scene after the whole match? Everybody, that was stunned silence. For the defeat was not as much humiliating to the Indian team as much as the euphoria that was created just before the defeat came. Oh, it was like, it was so painful. There was a stunned silence. Nobody was talking to each other. So that's actually material energy for you. That is Maya Devi for us. So she makes us feel, I am successful, I am wealthy, a lot of money, I am famous. And suddenly, we start feeling, I am lonely. Nobody cares. I become old. I remember when the British Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, when she was in her peak, the House of Commons would applaud her speeches. And she was like a very majestic personality. And eventually, just 2 years ago, I got this newspaper cutting which speaks about Margaret Thatcher living in fear. And the whole article talks about how she is on the verge of insanity because her husband has died and she is lonely, nobody to care for her. The Sun magazine had carried a big article on her. Such a painful reality when it awakens, when material energy crushes us, it's simply a person cannot take it. That's how powerful this energy is. Also, we can see, you know, even in a mundane sense, we can also experience this kind of pleasure. Like I remember, I think all of us had this experience. If you see a cricket match, and when the batsman hits a four, and we are on the team, like we support the team that is batting, and if he hits a four, it is not as much pleasurable as when a batsman hits a boundary, and the fielder is running, thinking that I've got the ball, and he's running, and eventually, as soon as he reaches the boundary, the ball crosses, you know. I remember all of us saying, wow, maja aa gaya, usko bhagaya itna, you know. It's fun to see a person almost getting there, but he loses it. That's exactly how Maya enjoys. And the carrot is there, and I got it. And gone. It's so painful after that. One devotee was telling us recently that he comes for the program sometimes and he was telling me how he was cheated by his employees. For 5 years, he was promised, no, don't take leave. You have official leave, sanctioned, but you just work. I'll make you the head of this department for whole of Bombay and things like that. And he missed so many yatras, so many programs. And eventually, after 5 years, they just gave him the post of an assistant manager and just increased his salary by just 2,000 rupees. They just kept promising him. And now he's in such a complicated situation that he can't even leave the job. It's a very messy thing. And he tells me now, Prabhuji, I realize how they fooled me. When they would see that I'm on the verge of protest and I'm really going to rebel, they would send me for a 2-day official training program or trip to some Chennai or somewhere and put me up in a 5-star hotel. And they would send me by flight. And I would feel so happy. And then I would come back, I would forget. So like that, they gave him some kind of titillation, some kind of happiness. But eventually, at the end of 5 years, he's miserable. So this is what Maya Devi is, or Krishna, through Maya, humbles us. This is how she does it. And therefore, when we hear about modern proponents of science and technology saying that we have conquered space, man is going to be happy, we know it's all temporary. It's going to fizzle out. Recently, one of the most famous professors of MIT, Dr. Gerald Sussman, he made a very sensational statement in their annual convocation address. He said, "Dear ladies and gentlemen, you will be very happy to know that ours is the last generation to die. Science and technology is advancing so much." And people are applauding. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody who knows the story of Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, you laugh at this.
So Srila Prabhupada writes, I think in second canto purport, amazing statement. He said, this whole civilization is simply a dead body flapping for a few seconds. That's all. So we see people are extremely active. You know, they are hyperactive. So much technology has advanced, so much success, razzle dazzle, glamour. But it's all going to be finished. It's like a fish when it is out of water. You will see, if you take a fish out of water, you can see the fish flapping and, you know, jumping. But that's not because he's great or he's going to achieve something. That's because he's just on the verge of dying. So the civilization is now doing so much. Material civilization is at its peak. Advancement is at its peak, but actually it's at its nadir, its lowest. Tase tasya jano nunam nayam vedoru vikramam. Kalya manopi balino vayoriva ghanavali. Lord Kapila Dev says, people are so nunam, they are so mad after sense gratification. Tase tasya jano nunam nayam vedoru vikramam. They do not realize the vikrama, the greatest force, is going to destroy them, and that is kalya manopi balino. The greatest bala is in kala, time. And kala destroys everything like vayo riva ghanavali. Just like a huge mass of clouds is thrown away with disdain by the wind. Vayo riva ghanavali. Similarly, all our projects and all our achievements in this material world will be thrown away by the wind of time. And people are proud. You see in Japan, people are very proud of controlling time. You know, they are so pakka about this time concept, but it's a joke. I heard in many countries, in Japan and many countries, if the trains or if the flights get late, they even pay compensation by a few minutes. They are so proud of being so punctual, having controlled time and achieved so much success in life. But no, it's just that, like, it's like Hiranyakashipu slipping out of the Lord's hands and flapping before he meets his eventual death. The Roman civilization is gone. At one time it was so great. Napoleon would say, Prabhupada always quotes Napoleon's example, Napoleon is France, France is Napoleon. And Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture in Paris and he said, France is still there, where is Napoleon? If you read European history, you will see that Britain was considered to have the most powerful naval forces. 100 years ago, Britain, Prabhupada would quote this also, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Today, Britain is not such, it's not considered to be one of the most powerful. There are other countries which have caught up. Now Prabhupada said, the sun never rises in the British Empire. And so today we are razzled, you know, today we are actually impressed by the US of America. Yeah, America is now the nation. But one tiny tsunami can finish off so many things. It's sufficient. Actually, the tsunami was a tiny manifestation of Krishna's material energy. And if you analyze, it is said that the geographical map has changed because of this tsunami's impact. The waves came at 750 kilometers per hour speed. What an impact. It is said that the earth has wobbled in its axis by some millimeters. Indradumna Maharaj writes all these statistics in his traveling diary. And time has been affected by some microseconds. That was the impact of, what is this tsunami actually? It is nothing. So if Krishna decides to send a little bigger tsunami, there will be nothing but dust and a beach in Mumbai. The whole Mumbai city can collapse. So therefore, a person might be the wealthiest, with the best medicines, with the best doctors to cure him, he might be admitted in the best hospital, but still he will die. Somebody might be the wealthiest man, whole life he must have given bribe and got things done, but when death comes, he cannot bribe death. A lady might be most beautiful, she might have enticed and charmed many men, but when death comes, she cannot charm death. Somebody might be a great pandit, scholar, must have learned so many shlokas, but when death comes, he cannot debate with death and defeat death. So, it's a very, very painful reality. So, material energy makes a fool of us. Actually, not only a hardcore materialistic is fooled by the material energy, if you carefully analyze,
by Krishna's sanction, material energy can do that to devotees also. Even devotees may, sadhaka may get fooled. Like we may be kind of lukewarm or inattentive in our sadhana, or we may become a little offensive. And externally there will be no problem. It might appear that things are going on nicely, but by the power of our offenses and our inattention, the whole foundation may get cracked. And before we realize, we'll be gone with the wind, as they say. Yadavas, they were doing so well, and one day they decided to have fun with 6 or 7 sages. They dressed Samba as a woman, a pregnant woman. They stuffed him with some clothes. And he came in front of the sages and they asked the sages, please say whether it is a boy or a girl. They made fun. The sages said it by Narad Muni. And the sages cursed them that this contains the seed of your destruction. So there are chapters after chapters explaining how this is all a pastime. We should not judge this pastime materially. At the same time, as sadhakas, we can learn lessons from this, that how when we tend to get a little complacent and make fun of other devotees and think, okay, I'm okay. And suddenly, and at that time, everything is going on good. In fact, we may even become better for some time in our success. But then we come crashing down. Therefore, a sadhaka has to work hard and be alert and be introspective about his motives, about his devotional service. His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj, he writes in this book, Art of Transformation, I think. He gives a brilliant example. He says, for those who are chemistry students, they will know that it's not easy to convert copper into gold. If you want to convert copper into gold, you have to actually change the atomic structure. It requires a lot of energy to be released. It's very hard work. A lot of hard work is needed to convert copper into gold. So he says, but there is an easy way out. You can paint the copper with the gold color. But then he says, there is a problem. The first winter season, the first rain will wash off the copper, the gold color. And the reality will be in front of everyone. So he was giving the purport that similarly, to convert our copper-like existence into gold-like Vaishnava requires hard work. We can paint ourselves as devotee with tilak, kanti mala, Vaishnava attire. But the first trouble, the first test, we may just collapse. Of course, I'm speaking all these big words, but it applies to me more than anyone else. The idea is we cannot outwit Krishna. We cannot have it easy the way we want it. Otherwise, we'll be fooled, like tricked, like Hiranyakashipu. We might think, I've got Krishna in my grip. Yes, I've got it. I've advanced in Krishna consciousness. Like there was one prisoner, he was being tried by the judge. For the judge asked him, we have heard that you are a thief by profession. Do you admit you are a thief? He looked at the judge and said, well, yes and no. For the judge said, well, I assume you are a thief. When do you steal? Do you steal always? He said, well, I steal now and then. The judge said, where do you steal? Supermarkets or small places? He said, well, I steal here and there. So the judge said, the judge sentenced him to rigorous imprisonment. He said, but my lord, why imprisonment? When will I be released? The judge said, sooner or later. Sooner or later you will be released. This is exactly how Krishna deals with us also. Hare Krishna, kya, aaj kya, nahi kya. Going on, cool, bhakti is cool. So, but I want to go back to Godhead. I claim my demand. Krishna says, yes, you will come, sooner or later. You know? So we can't be just lukewarm. Of course, sometimes devotees are sincere. And still we feel that occasionally the anarthas come up. And we are wondering, I'm so sincerely trying.
I'm not justifying my situation. I'm not fighting with devotees. I'm trying to be sincere, but why I'm the lust is coming up, or greed or envy? At such times, we should know that these anarthas are after all representatives of Hiranyakashipu and all the other demons. So they are now having, they are coming up because that's how they are having prominence now. And we have to learn at that time to be patient. Yes, utsaha we need, but at the same time, nischaya, dhairya. We need the balance of all the three. Because Krishna, he allows the vanarthas to come up even in the heart of a sincere devotee, so that a devotee becomes helpless and takes exclusive shelter of Krishna. So that's why sometimes Hiranyakashipu, like anarthas, may have a field day in our heart. And instead of cursing the process, we should realize that it is Krishna who wants us to take note of this demon creating havoc in our heart and desperately take shelter. Just like when Kaliya saw Krishna, Krishna jumped into Yamuna and created a big sound. And Kaliya knew that his home is being attacked. So he came in front of Krishna. He saw Krishna is so attractive. But because of envy, he couldn't appreciate Krishna. He caught Krishna in his coils, and Krishna was trapped, and all the coward boys were on the bank. They collapsed in agony, in pain, in anxiety for Krishna. Because in Vrindavan, everybody loves Krishna. The gopas love Krishna, the gopis love Krishna, the water loves Krishna, the trees love Krishna, the flowers in Vrindavan, everybody loves Krishna. Krishna was their life and soul. So to see Krishna trapped in the coils was so much pain for them. And meanwhile, the news spread. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they got the news that Krishna is in danger. For they all came running to Yamuna and they saw, and that pain was unbearable. And Srila Prabhupada explains in Krishna book that Krishna was trapped in the coils of Kaliya for 2 hours. 2 hours, these devotees were just watching Krishna. And oh Krishna, and Prabhupada writes, and just when they were about to give up their body in pain, Krishna realized, now they are really desperate. Then Krishna released himself. In that same section, Srila Prabhupada writes a commentary that how, this is the lesson which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also taught. Shunyaitam Jagat Sarva Govinda Viraye Nama. A devotee has to come to this consciousness that I have no shelter, I have nothing, everything is null and void without Krishna. So unless you come to that stage, Hiranyakashipu like anarthas will keep coming up and they will make us feel that they are stronger than our devotional service. Actually all of them, Hiranyaksha represents one of the anarthas. Greed, because he accumulated all the gold and the planet Earth fell into the Garbhodak ocean. So he represents greed. Hiranyakashipu represents pride, arrogance. Ravana represents lust. Kumbhakarna, illusion. He was always sleeping and eating. And Shishupal, envy. And Dantavakra, anger. So each one of them was powerful and only Krishna could kill them. So our anarthas also, only Krishna can take care of them. And we don't have one of them. One demon or so was creating so much havoc, and we have in our heart all the six. Our heart is six in one. You know, all the anarthas are there. So for such a demon, like a Kali Yuga personality, we need much, much more powerful weapon. And therefore, Krishna comes as the most munificent incarnation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Brajendra Nandana Dei Jai Sachisuta Hoilo Sei Balaram Hoilo Nitai Dinahina Chetachilo Hariname Uddarilo Tara Sakshi Jagai Madai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared along with Lord Nityananda to destroy all these anarthas in our heart. And the best example, Tara Sakshi Jagai Madai. So through the example of Jagai Madai, the Lord has revealed that we just need to have faith, enthusiasm and confidence and continue on. Krishna will take care of our anarthas. Otherwise, of course, it may appear to be a little late that Lord is not reciprocating and I am suffering so much. But the process is working. We have to have that faith and confidence. Because this is the sign that the process is working, that we are struggling with our anarthas. If you are not struggling, that means we are not actually taking shelter of the process. The first excellence of the holy name is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. There are 7 excellences Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. And the first one he gives is Cheto Darpana Marjanam from the Shikshashtakam. This means the heart of the mirror gets cleansed when we take shelter of Krishna's holy name. So cleaning is not a peaceful process. In the sense, cleaning means dirt is removed. So that is churning. So the anarthas are getting churned and they're getting destroyed. And darpana marjanam, and the mirror is getting cleansed. So Krishna is showing us the mirror. You know, Prabhu, this is what you are. You are lusty, you are envious, you are greedy. No, you know, it's very painful to see our own anarthas. To accept it is like very tough. So we avoid many times confronting, we avoid taking shelter of the holy name or Vaishnavas because we know that I'm getting cleansed, or we may defend ourselves, or we may avoid confronting our own anarthas. But that's what the holy name will give us. If we actually take shelter, we will be exposed to ourselves more than anyone else. But therefore, it behooves a devotee to take more shelter of the process rather than look for some peaceful alternatives. You know, I'm going on smoothly, coolly. Because the medicine is working. Right now, we cannot be concerned so much with the taste of the medicine. Right? We agree, we don't have so much taste in the holy name. But taste will come. Our challenge is to work on our part. Like if you go to a doctor, like I take very bitter kind of medicines. So when I go to the doctor after a month, the doctor doesn't ask me, so how do you find the medicine tasty? And I don't glorify the medicine for its taste. We can appreciate the medicine right now, medicine of holy name, because of its efficacy in curing, not in sense of taste. If you want, we go to a doctor not for taste, but for the medicine's effectiveness. Similarly, right now we have to take shelter of the holy name, although we have no taste, but we have to take shelter knowing that the medicine is working. You know, if you want something very sweet, then we might as well go to a halwai rather than a doctor. For doctor means somebody who gives maybe a little painful medicine, but it works. So holy name, when we take shelter, when we spend time with the holy name and we chant, it can be a little painful. We realize I have no taste, I want to finish my rounds. So we should allow the vanarthas to disturb us, in the sense we should get disturbed by our own lack of taste in devotional service. It is work, but the process is working. Like a child is told sometimes by the mother, my dear child, take this food. If you eat nicely, you will become strong and then you will be able to defeat your friend in the game. So the child is innocent, he doesn't know anything. So he says, acha. So he takes food, he takes whatever the drink the mother gives, then he goes out and is not able to defeat. So is the mother lying? No. The mother is trying to tell the child that you do it, you practice this process, you keep taking, and eventually you will come to a stage when you will be strong enough. So similarly, our problem is we are living in a quick fix age. Now we want, okay, I've chanting today, so tomorrow I should be perfect. The process is working, and the test is we are all Kali Yuga products, and the very fact that we have given up sinful life and we are following the 4 regulative principles with whatever sincerity and living in Mumbai city, it's a big achievement. How is it possible for a Kali Yuga person to follow all these principles? It's a mercy of the Lord, mercy of the Lord's holy name. So the process is working. So we cannot be concerned with the taste so much now as much as the sincerity of purpose to show Krishna that I want to become sincere. Once His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhu asked a question to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj that, Maharaj, I am chanting for last 20 years and still I have no taste for the holy name. And Maharaj said, if Krishna wants,
He can give you taste tomorrow morning when you're chanting. And if he wants, he may not give you taste for another 20 years. But you keep chanting. And if you are sincere, then just a few minutes before you die, before you give up your body, Krishna will reveal everything of the spiritual world. So therefore, Krishna wants us to come to that stage of intense dependence. Just like when Kali, when he was enwrapped in the coils of Kaliya, the Brajvasis were just sitting and talking about Krishna intensely. Same thing happened when Chanura and Krishna were wrestling. In the stadium, all the people who were watching, they started protesting. They became so anxious for Krishna. And then they started glorifying Krishna, singing Krishna's pastimes. And then Krishna killed Chanura. So therefore, we have to be more and more intense. Isolena Satswarup Maharaj writes in one place that if you are sitting and taking care of a garden and the cow comes and eats up all the grass, will you just sit quietly? So he said, the time is also eating up our life and we are simply chewing the external form of the holy name. He writes very poetically how time is destroying us and we are not taking shelter of the holy name and devotees. So therefore, Krishna has a unique coat of purification. This is also another point which in the same lecture Isolina Pradhana Swami Maharaj said that each devotee, Krishna has stitched a unique coat of purification for each one of us. And Krishna puts that coat on each one of us and we have to wear it. And our coat will not fit into somebody else's. So each devotee has a very unique coat. So each devotee basically is struggling with his own purification. So what the best thing we can do is we can struggle with our own, adjusting with our own coat and empathize with the other's struggles and appreciate them and wait for Krishna to shower his mercy on us and on others. And the worst thing to do at such times as we are struggling and praying to Krishna is to commit offenses to devotees. When we commit offenses, when a very senior Srila Prabhupada disciple was saying that when we commit offenses to Vaishnavas, then a time comes when the most obnoxious things which we thought we will never commit as devotees, we are devotees, the very same acts we will land up performing. Such a scary statement, but it made so much sense that offense to Vaishnavas is so dangerous. So we basically have to do two things. Just be sincere in our devotional service and not offend, not criticize devotees. And somehow see good in others. In fact, we are reading about Hiranyakashipu. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says that he calls him a Shriman Hiranyakashipu. We are thankful to him. Because of him, Narsingadev appeared. So, pure devotees can see good even in Srila Prabhupada could see that even in Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes we might, because we are living in a community of devotees, we might see devotees going through so many struggles and purification. So it's easy to judge and mess up our own spiritual life. So historically, Jay and Vijay, Hiranyakashipu, originally Jay. So Jay and Vijay offended the four Kumaras. And they came and this whole pastime took place. But as devotees, we should see this as Lord's arrangement. Because Jay and Vijay were not offenders. They were devotees of Krishna. They were sincere servants of Krishna. And they must have made a mistake. Mistake a devotee might make. But that a mistake committed by a devotee doesn't make him an offender. So when we see devotees making some mistakes or blunders and judge them for that and not realizing that this devotee is a sincere servant of Krishna and he is a puppet in the hands of Krishna to teach us many lessons. Therefore, we can never recognize a devotee with our mundane material intelligence. Gadadhar Pandit could not recognize Pundarik Vidyanidhi. We know this pastime, how Pundarik Vidyanidhi was seated and he was appearing royal. But as soon as he heard Avo Bakiyam verse, he became ecstatic and his real devotional qualities came up. So sometimes we may live with devotees and we may not appreciate them till the very end. Bhishma Pitama, actually if you see, Bhishma Pitama's example is a classic case of misunderstanding. Anybody can misunderstand him. He was fighting against pure devotees of Krishna. But Krishna revealed his real glory just moments before his death. Even Vritrasur, his glory has been revealed to the world just moments before his death. So Krishna may reveal the true glory of some Vaishnava to us And then we may lament, oh, I saw him, whole life I saw him externally. So we destroy our spiritual life. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that simple thing, just be sincere in your devotional service and don't offend devotees. Srila Prabhupada was entering once New York temple. He had come from his tour, preaching tour. And as soon as he entered, devotees started showering flowers from the balcony. So many devotees, hundreds of devotees. Puttamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was next to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, demigods are showering flowers upon you. Prabhupada smiled, looked at all of them, smiled. Then he went in. And when he went in, he became grave. And he looked again at behind at all the devotees. And very gravely he turned to Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and said, yes, they are all demigods. So Srila Prabhupada, he saw all the devotees as demigods. He saw them as special, as representatives of his spiritual master. So therefore, to conclude, we can understand that through this whole episode, that Krishna cheats and fools materialistic people who try to exploit the resources of material nature by giving them a false sense of confidence. But for a sadhaka who also becomes lenient and offends devotees, he may also miss this rare chance. So therefore, we have to be alert, careful, and practice Krishna consciousness seriously. And if we do that without offending Vaishnavas, then Krishna may save us from becoming the most unfortunate person who is so near Krishna but so far. He's almost come there, but he misses it. This is what has happened to Hiranyakashipu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.